Chapter 22 By Candlelight. The steady hum of the car lulled Margarita as she flew high above the earth. From the magical and miraculous events of the evening, she had already guessed who exactly she was about to visit. But it did not frighten her. The hope of reclaiming her happiness had rendered her fearless. Soon Margarita opened her eyes to see the dark woods below, replaced by the trembling lake of Moscow's lights. The black avian chauffeur landed the car in some completely deserted cemetery near Dorogomilovo. Immediately, a black cape appeared from behind one of the tombstones. A fang twinkled in the moonlight, and Margarita recognized Azazello. He gestured to Margarita, inviting her to get on her broom, himself mounting a long rapier. They took off, and several seconds later landed unnoticed near number 302B on Sadovaya Street. As they passed through the gateway, Margarita noticed a man in a cap and high boots skulking there, apparently waiting for someone. A second man, surprisingly similar to the first, was standing by the sixth entrance. When the door opened and closed, the man ran after the invisible guests and peeped through the doorway, but of course saw nothing. A third man, an exact copy of the second, and therefore the first, was patrolling the landing on the third floor. Margarita and her guide were already at the entrance to apartment number 50. They did not ring. Instead, Azazello opened the door silently with his key. The first thing that astonished Margarita was the darkness surrounding her. But then a tiny lamplight glimmered in the distance. Azazello took the broom from Margarita as they walked, and it vanished in the darkness without a sound. They began to ascend a broad staircase, and it seemed to Margarita that it had no end. She was amazed at how this incredible, invisible, yet very tangible, infinite staircase managed to fit in the hall of a regular Moscow apartment. But then the stairs ended, and Margarita realized she was on a landing. The little light was right next to her, and Margarita saw the face of the tall, dark man holding the lamp. It was Korovyov, alias Fagot. Korovyov's appearance had changed considerably, however. It was no longer a cracked pince-nez, long overdue for the rubbish heap that reflected the flickering light, but a monocle, though also cracked. The magician, choirmaster, sorcerer, interpreter, or hell really knows who, Korovyov, in other words, bowed and invited Margarita to follow him as Azazello disappeared.
"To business, Margarita Nikolaevna," Korovyov spoke. "You are a very intelligent woman, and have already guessed who our host is, of course."
Margarita's heart thumped, and she nodded.
"Well then, every year Messiah gives a single ball. It is known as the Spring Ball of the Full Moon, or the Ball of 100 Kings. Messiah is a bachelor, as you must surely understand. However, he requires a hostess."
Margarita listened, but her heart felt chilly, and the hope of regaining her happiness made her head spin.
"There is a tradition," Korovyov continued. "Firstly, the hostess must be named Margarita, and secondly, she must be a native of the place where the ball is to be held. In short," Korovyov exclaimed, "will you agree to take this responsibility on yourself?"
"I will," Margarita said firmly.
"Done,"
Korovyov said, and raising his lamp, added,
"Follow me, please. And if I may be so bold as to give you some advice, Margarita Nikolaevna, do not be afraid of anything, anywhere. We will see persons who once held immense sway of power. But really, when one considers how microscopically small their abilities compared to the one whose entourage I have the honour of belonging to, It becomes quite amusing. And besides, you too are of royal blood.
Why royal blood? Margarita whispered.
Oh, my queen, questions of blood are among the most complex in the world. A hint. One of the French queens, who lived in the 16th century, would have likely been very amazed had someone told her that many years later I would be leading her lovely great-great-great-great-granddaughter through a ballroom in Moscow. But look, we've arrived!
Korovyov blew out his lamp, and it vanished from his hands. Margarita saw a strip of light beneath a dark door ahead. Korovyov knocked quietly. The door opened. Margarita saw a large oak bed with dirty crumpled sheets and a pillow. An oak table with carved legs stood in front of the bed, bearing a candelabrum with sockets shaped like bird talons. Thick wax candles burned in its seven golden claws. A large chessboard with figurines of extraordinary craftsmanship lay next to it on the table. Among those present, Margarita immediately recognized Azazello, now dressed in a tailcoat and standing at the head of the bed. He bowed to her most gallantly. The naked witch, known as Hela, the same one who had embarrassed the variety's venerable bartender, was sitting on a rug by the bed, stirring a pot of something that gave off abundant sulphurous vapour. Besides these two, an enormous black monster of a cat was sitting on a high stool by the chessboard, holding a chess knight in his right paw. Paralysed with fear, Margarita barely managed to perceive all of this in the treacherous shadows from the candles. Her gaze was drawn towards the bed, which was occupied by the one whom poor Ivan so recently tried to convince on the patriarchs that the devil did not exist. This non-existent one was now sitting on the bed. Two eyes bored into Margarita's face, the right with a gold spark deep inside, penetrated to the very bottom of the soul. The left was empty and black. The narrow eye of a needle, an entrance to a bottomless well of darkness and shadow. Volant's face was skewed to one side, the right corner of his mouth tilted downward. Sprawling broadly on the bed, Volant wore only a long, dirty nightshirt patched on the left shoulder. One of his bare legs was tucked under him, while the other rested on the small bench. Hela was rubbing the knee of this dark leg with a steaming ointment. Margarita also made out a beetle, skillfully carved from some dark stone, hanging on a gold chain on Volant's exposed, hairless chest. The beetle had strange symbols on its back. A curious globe stood next to Volant's bed on a heavy pedestal, seemingly alive and lit on one side by the sun. The silence lasted several seconds. "He is studying me," Margarita thought, and tried to will her trembling legs to stop. Finally, Volant smiled and spoke.
"Greetings, Queen, and please forgive my informal attire."
He stretched out his hand and beckoned Margarita. She approached. Volant placed his hand on Margarita's shoulder. It felt heavy as stone, yet hot as fire. He yanked her towards him and sat her down on the bed next to him. "Allow me to introduce my entourage. This clown here is Behemoth the cat. You have already met Korovyov and Azazella. And this is my servant Hela, quick, competent, and can render any service imaginable." Turning her greenish eyes towards Margarita, the beautiful Hela smiled, even as she continued to scoop up the ointment and rub it into Volant's knee. He fell silent and began to turn his globe. It was so well made that its blue oceans ebbed and flowed, and the polar cap looked like real snow and ice.
"It's time, Hela,"
Volant said, and Hela disappeared from the room.
"My leg is acting up, and now there's this ball."
"Allow me," Margarita asked quietly. Volant looked at her intently and moved his knee towards her. The viscous liquid was as hot as lava and burned her hands, but Margarita began to rub it into the knee without wincing, trying not to cause any pain.
"My entourage insists it's rheumatism," Volant said, without taking his eyes off Margarita. "But I strongly suspect this knee ache is a gift from a charming witch I once became closely acquainted with, back in the year 1571, in the Brocken Mountains on Hell's Chair. Tell me, by the way, do you suffer from anything? Is there any sorrow or anguish poisoning your soul?"
"No, Messiah, none of that," Margarita replied cleverly. "And now that I am here, I feel quite well."
"Blood is a great thing," Volant said cheerfully out of nowhere, and added, "I see you are intrigued by my globe."
"Oh, yes. I have never seen such a thing."
"A great little item. To tell you the truth, I don't like hearing the latest news on the radio. They are always reported by strange girls who cannot even pronounce place names properly. My globe is far more convenient, especially since I require very precise information about world events. Take this piece of land, for instance, here by the ocean. Look how it fills with fire. War has started there. If you look closer, you will see the details."
Margarita bent down to the globe and saw the little square of land grow larger and more colourful, turning into a relief map of sorts. Soon she saw the narrow ribbon of a river with a small settlement beside it. A pea-sized house grew to be as large as a matchbox. Suddenly and silently, the roof flew up in a cloud of black smoke, and the walls collapsed, turning the tiny two-story box into a smoking pile of rubble. Looking even closer, Margarita saw a small female figure lying on the ground, a little child's arms spread out in a pool of blood beside it.
"It's over," Volant said, smiling. "He had no time to sin. Abaddon's work is impeccable."
"I'd hate to be on the side fighting this Abaddon," said Margarita. "Whose side is he on?"
"The more I talk to you," Volant replied pleasantly, "the more I realize how intelligent you are. Let me allay your fears. Abaddon is unusually impartial and sympathizes equally with both sides. Consequently, the results for both sides are always the same. Abaddon?"
Volant called quietly, and a thin man in dark glasses stepped out of the wall. For some reason, the glasses made such a powerful impression on Margarita that she cried out softly. "Can he take off his glasses for a moment?" Margarita asked, pressing against Volant and shuddering.
"That, however, is impossible," Volant said gravely,
and waved his hand at Abaddon, who disappeared.
"What is it you wish to say, Azazella?"
"Messiah," Azazella replied, "I would like to inform you that we have two strangers with us. A beautiful woman who keeps whining and pleading to be allowed to stay with her mistress, and begging your pardon, her swine."
"It's Natasha," Margarita exclaimed.
"Very well, then, let her stay with her mistress. The swine goes to the cooks."
"For slaughter?" Margarita cried fearfully. "Please, Messiah, it is Nikolai Ivanovich, the tenant from downstairs. There has been a misunderstanding, you see. She rubbed some of the cream on him."
"Please,"
Voland said.
Why in hell would anyone want to slaughter him? Let him sit with the cooks for a while. That's all I meant. Surely you'll agree I cannot let him into the ballroom.
To say the least, Azazello added, and announced, midnight approaches, Messiah.
Ah, very well. Voland turned to Margarita.
And so, after you, allow me to thank you in advance. Don't get flustered, and don't be afraid of anything. It is time.
Margarita rose from the rug, and then Kuroviov appeared in the doors.